If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow, hospitalizations in LA are up 50%.
Great.
What's so sad about that Broadway guy?
Was that Nick Cordero?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's what he was? He was a Broadway actor?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad. He fought for a long time.
41. Crazy.
I read I haven't read it yet, but a friend of mine sent me an article that was like, some geneticists think that there's like a gene variation passed down from like Neanderthals or whatever. And
Neolithic.
And that can determine what your reaction to COVID is. So they think that they're linking this like genetic variation that like, if you have the variation or something, you might have like a very severe reaction, but if you don't, you might not. I need to read it. Anyway. Cool story, me thinking about an article that I haven't read.
That's like my story of my life.
The story that brings nothing to the table may or may not even be like accurate. I hope you guys enjoyed that science time.
Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you. I'm sorry. I love telling an anecdote that brings nothing to the table and also potentially like regresses
complete misinformation. Yeah.
That's literally, I do that. I'm a terrible storyteller.
That was,
there's this article about like, this is me. No, you usually are tell like, well, I'm like, there's this article I saw that's like, it says something.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read it yet, but it may like, say this or it may say that, but like, I don't even know. But isn't that crazy? Anyways. Okay.
That should be a whole character.
That's literally, I feel like I do that a lot on this podcast, just saying things.
Someone talking about something they've seen and they haven't read, but they've seen like one blurb about it.
Mm-hmm. And they can't actually remember like what it was or wasn't. What it might
but
have
they
thought.
Can tell you like
but you yeah. should like check it out
but you should check it out because I'm not gonna check it out.
I'm like, it's on my list. I don't know when I'll get to it, but like, you should definitely read it. It sounds super interesting.
You should read it.
You should really
tell me
it.
About it.
Yeah. Message me. Well,
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara. And this is.
And this is.
Sexy.
Sexy.
Unique. Podcast.
Podcast. Tough Sicilian bitches. Tough Sicilian bitches. I'm committed to the truth. Caroline Manzo last week said, my allegiance is with the truth about the whole Dina's ex-boyfriend fiasco.
Which
with
is
her
like,
ex-husband.
Okay. So your whole family are family of liars, is what you're saying.
Yeah. My allegiance is with the truth. You can't just say, like, I'm really maybe take the side of your blood relative.
Yeah, it sounds like the truth is that your brother-in-law hired someone to beat someone else with a slapstick.
To beat your sister's boyfriend up.
A slapjack or whatever the fuck it was.
Slapjack. I've got a whole drawer of slapjacks.
My allegiance is with the slapjacks.
They were talking about sticks tonight on tonight's episode of TSB.
Yeah, everyone's so violent.
About wooden spoons
in this Manzo family.
Teeth being on the floor. Like, I was like, what?
Oh my god! Before we get into it, I have to just say that okay. If you listen to this podcast and you don't believe that we are psychic, I don't know what to tell you, because literally day after day, week after week, things happen that we have literally predicted. And the most recent thing was that Melania's best friend from childhood is going to write like a tell-all book about her.
Melania Trump.
I was like,
I thought for a second you were like, I was like, oh my god, Melania Judice is in eighth grade.
I forgot about Melania Judice, but also I forgot because she spells her name differently. So yeah. In my mind, she's just like a whole different can of Melania action. But Melania Trump's best childhood friend is about to like My Brilliant Friend her, which we had talked about ages ago on the podcast.
My brilliant friend,
Melania. Nostriofich.
Growing up in. I don't know where they grow up.
I just love saying, my brilliant friend.
My brilliant friend.
Yeah.
Is what I imagine like, they sound like.
They must have had a falling out, right?
Seems as set. If it hasn't happened already, it's about to go down. I don't think you tell all about your brilliant friend if you have not fallen out.
Yeah. God.
And she does look like Milan's.
Yeah, she looks like Melania, just a little less tweaked.
Squinty. Yeah.
Pulled. I think in the Bolton book, there's a book by his niece, I think, right?
There's a tell-all that's going to be published this week.
But there's like a judge.
Donald Trump's niece.
But he got some judge to block it, which is insane.
I got a New York Times alert today that said like it's going to be published.
Oh, okay. And then I think in the Bolton one, which I haven't read and I'm not going to, but apparently Melania is like feared. Like, everyone is afraid of her, including Donald. Like, Ivanka's afraid of her. Everyone's, like, she is, like her word is the word. And, like, she's the only person that... I am not standing Melania Trump. She's a piece of shit, birther, garbage person. But just... There was always this, like, assumption that, like, Ivanka was running the show.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Melania is like a terror, and like Donald is like, I think she's like the one person that Donald falls in line on.
Whoa. That's a twist, right? I didn't see coming.
I know. I didn't.
I'll be honest. Like,
yeah. I didn't read it. But, and I'm not, guys, I am not standing Melania Trump being like, go off, queen.
I don't think anyone, like, I mean, I don't think that you are. I think if you think that, you need to rewind and then listen again and then keep rewinding until you understand that.
I think the assumption is people always assume that Melania is just like this, like mute, passive, depressed, like passive woman, like wandering the halls of the White House. But she's not. I don't think she's like that.
Pure evil.
Yeah, I think she is evil.
This book is called Melania and Me, My Years as a Confidant, Advisor, and Friend to the First Lady. My brilliant friend. It promises a revealing and explosive portrayal of Stephanie Winston Wolkoff's 15-year friendship with Melania Trump and observations of the most chaotic White House in history.
So it seems like a recent...
This will be recent. It's going to be published in September.
Well, let's hope that we're all still around in September.
Oh, this is by another like socialite friend of hers from New York. I literally thought it was like a childhood friend. Again, don't trust anything I ever say about an article.
You know what? Spin it. She's basically saying my brilliant friend.
Yeah. My brilliant friend,
Melania.
I mean, what are people expecting? Like, I don't think anyone's trying to write some sort of book that's like, these are amazing people. Let me tell you about my incredible experience knowing them. Like, no one has that experience.
No, they're a wretched bunch.
they're just a ragtag.
They're just gang a rotten
of cretins.
Rotten group, a rotten family, rotten to the core. Kimberly, go. Oh, we did talk about Donald Kimbo, Trump Jr., Kimberly Gargoyle,
Kimberly Gargoyle.
Kimberly has COVID, and she was going, by the way, I don't want to talk about this, I don't want to waste any more time after this on this fucking family, but she went to that party, that mask-free Hamptons party that Ramona Singer was at with Donald Trump Jr., and we were like speculating that like she was like trying to get antibodies. Ramona announced that she had antibodies, allegedly from when she had COVID in February, but antibodies, as we know now, don't last that long, so she probably got it again. And Kimberly Goyfile was going to the Mount Rushmore disastrous thing that they did.
Oh, yeah.
And they landed, and they tested her, and she was positive, so they, like, made her and Donald Trump Jr., like, leave. So he definitely has it too.
I'm sure.
Anyway, Ramona Singer at the center of it all.
I know. She really is at the center of it all. Dorinda called her out too.
I know. And also, a reader messaged me, a few people messaged me that Dorinda and Devorah are feuding.
For what, pray tell?
On Twitter. Hold on.
Hold, please.
Devorah Rose tweeted, "Poor Hannah. She really looks up to Dorinda and consider her as a role model. I hope she will be skipping the part of Dorinda drunk, slurring, and bullying Tinsley. Hashtag Roni."
Who's Hannah? Then Dorinda's daughter?
Yeah. And then Dorinda wrote, "Did you really just write this, Devorah Rose? Coming from you with your past, may I start by suggesting you remove American socialite in your bio? That's not a reach. It's a marathon."
I live for the fact that, like, everyone that hates Devorah Rose first must refer to her as Devorah Rose in any sort of, like, diss.
Yeah.
Then has no choice but to attack her, like, self-given title as a socialite. Like, that's really all they can say about her, and then like bring her past into the mix. I love that 10 years later this is still the conversation that's happening when it comes to like clapping back at Devorah Rose.
And also, like, even Paul and like Yules, it was like the one thing they could agree on was hating Devorah Rose.
Like, she truly brings everyone together.
Do you remember that that party where everyone was just screaming at each other and Devorah and like Yules Yerby and PJC were like tag teaming Devorah, like yelling at her, just like coming out of, like, Devorah was just getting into a fight with everyone at that party.
Devorah was born to brawl with people.
She should be on Roni.
She absolutely should.
She would be, she would, she's like the drama that we need.
She would be an incredible ad.
Right?
I don't think, like, to me, it feels like Dorinda's Roni days are numbered, because it's like, we can't,
I can't handle,
can't last like much longer with this kind of attitude.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and now that Tinsley's gone, it's like, who will she shit on next? I'm sure she'll find someone. But Leah. Like, yeah, Leah's next up. But like, Devorah, like, to see Dorinda blow her fucking lid at Devorah would actually be incredible. Yeah.
And if she came on, they would already have bad blood.
Yeah, they have beef.
Because, I mean, when you go for, if you make a comment about Dorinda's drinking, she already, like, you're dead for her. And but if you come for her,
making a comment about her daughter. Does Devorah know her?
Poor Hannah. And then defending Tinsley. That's a twist I didn't
see. She always loved Tinsley, though. She did. Always wanted to be accepted by Tins.
Why won't you just let me be your friend? Dale meeting with Devorah to tell her that her daughter was stupid for her.
Yeah, would never be friends with her. Neither of her daughters would.
Bring Dale on.
Dale needs to be on. I would love a Zoom
or Dabney.
A high society Zoom reunion would be really great.
Just or have Dabney in. Come on.
Dog Dabney would Dabney. Be get her in Dog. The fucking mix.
The predator.
Dog with Dabney sashing on with a scarf made of spinal cords.
Dogwood Dabney.
Dogwood Dabney whipping spinal cords around.
Finish.
Finish her. I would love to see.
I'll never forget Jules Yerby revealing that it was actually Dogwood Dabney brawling outside of the Empire Hotel at like 5 a.m. Because everyone was blaming Yules, but Yules was like, no, you were having a fight outside with your boyfriend. And Dabney was like, that's not true.
I never. Yules so, knew.
Yules knew.
God, what a history.
Do you think any of the housewives have mingled with Ghislaine, or was she too out of there?
Yeah, there's all those photos with
besides her and Carol. Did we talk about this last week?
Carol Radziwill, friend of Ghislaine, has gone like on record on I think she was on like Heather McDonald's podcast saying like, we're friends, like I love Ghislaine so much. But Ghislaine? Then I read that you know, there was like that blind item, like which New York housewife was like actually like helping recruit girls was Ghislaine or something like that.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, maybe it was Carol. But then someone was saying it's Sonia.
Ooh.
Which I could kind of see.
Also, huge twist. Some reporter had all of Ghislaine. I call her Ghislaine.
Ghislaine.
All of Ghislaine's movements until she landed in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And at one point she took a detour to fucking the farm that Yolanda Hadid's living on.
Oh yeah, you sent me that. I couldn't really decipher what that that Twitter person was saying, because it seemed really like it was like tin foil.
But
I fully believe that like
Ghislaine
knows the Hadids. I believe that she knows Muhammad.
Yeah, and didn't
and
we
if
used
not
to like
Mahoms, talk then about what?
Didn't we like talk about how we had theories about Yolanda?
What theories don't we have about Yolanda is like where to start. Yolanda is someone that just breeds theory after theory.
Oh, and this is I don't know how true this is. This could be photoshopped. So also
her In-N-Out picture. I think the In-N-Out photo was real.
No, that was real. Two things. Someone did an amazing Photoshop of Ghislaine at China Chalet, that party in New York that just closed, which was so funny. But there's a photo of JonBenet Ramsey at some like high society event, and in the background
was Ghislaine.
Ghislaine.
She's been involved in all sorts of shit.
That was really chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were all those theories about JonBenet.
Yeah.
But the thing that really, I mean, the thing that just added to the piles and piles of horror that this woman has been involved with, was that she was a bully to Princess Diana.
What did she say?
She used to, like, harass her.
That's fucked up.
One of the victims of Epstein said that Ghislaine would like brag about being how mean she was to Princess Diana because they were like in similar circles, and that she made her cry, and that was like a point of pride for her.
She should like, go to like, jail for that alone. That should like be a separate trial.
Mm-hmm. How can you be? And fucking Prince Andrew. Oh, here's the tea about Carol. Carol was set up by Ghislaine to go on some dates with Prince Andrew.
Ugh.
And they went to like the opera together or something. And like Carol was when she was in London, and she was like trying to set her up with him. And they dated briefly. Of course,
can
Carol.
Can you think of like a less fun date than going to like the opera with Prince Andrew? Like, do you understand how truly horrific that would be?
Bottom of the barrel.
You're not allowed to have any fun. You have to be like, sit up straight, cross your legs at the ankle, and then like smile, do like tight-lipped smiles to all his like friends.
And like,
you can't like show any emotion. You can't like cry or like love anything.
Not fun.
And then you're just like with this like Mr. Toad. You go on a date with Mr. Toad. You don't even have a wild ride.
He truly looks like a lawn toad, like one of those stone toads in like a yard.
Yeah, he is a stone toad.
Piece of shit.
With like a top hat and a walking stick.
But of course, Carol would
anything for a
royal fucker.
Wow.
That was mean.
You got harsh there, but it's okay.
Sorry.
I wonder what she will reveal. She is literally, she will be revealed tonight.
She's gonna, now I feel bad about saying Carol's a royal fucker. I know she really loved her husband.
She did.
And he's not with us, so that's unfair to say. So I atone to Carol and to the late Anthony Radziwill, Prince of Poland.
May he RIP.
Truly.
Ghislaine is now in a third world hellhole Brooklyn jail. COVID isolation.
Just COVID, right?
Does she have COVID?
Or maybe that was a fake article.
Unclear. But I need Ghislaine to spill all the dirty details about everyone. I don't think that she actually will. Like, I feel like there's probably people, like, she probably spent the past year liaising with certain individuals and deciding, like, who will take the fall and who will be protected.
She'll go to bat for these boys.
Like, I'm sure she has, like, cush.
Like,
I mean, that home setup.
The home she was living in was like a cathedral of like oak.
Tucked away.
Cedar.
It was a literal tucked house away. With its own name. That's like how you know that it was nice. And then also it was like arranged and purchased for her via some like tech guy. She has friends in all sorts of high places.
Ghislaine. Is it Ghislaine?
It's Ghislaine.
Ghislaine. Gala.
Gala. You call her Ghislaine.
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 Ghislaine. That's crazy, though. I mean, she... that's crazy, though. But she... I feel like she'll, like, go to the grave for these people.
I feel like she'll give up like three people that's like doesn't matter who they are really, and then take it to the grave for the rest of them.
Trump's are off the table, probably. Clinton's.
I wonder if she'll give up Bill Clinton. I feel like no. I feel like Hillary would do anything to make sure that Bill Clinton never gets in trouble for as long as he's alive.
Ghislaine was at Chelsea Clinton's wedding.
I know. So she's tight with both of them.
Mm-hmm. And then Fox News like cropped out a photo of Donald Trump with Ghislaine and Jeffrey Epstein and then left Melania in there.
Great. Love.
Fucking North Korea shit.
God.
Propaganda. Straight up propaganda. Like altered images. It's crazy.
I can't.
I need to go to a hospital. That's what like, Ghislaine, when she gets COVID, she's gonna go, I have to go to hospital.
I have to go to hospital. Take me to hospital.
I have to go to hospital.
I need this trial to be like fast tracked. We deserve it.
Yeah.
As Americans.
I won't be answering that question, but firstly, I need to go to hospital. Before anything, I must go to hospital. Sorry. Laura's like, Carrie, shut the fuck.
No, I like hospital. Hospital time.
I need to go to hospital.
I need to go to hospital. Did she say that?
No, I'm just imagining
her. She said, I need to go to hospital.
No, it's just how British
people. You've been in a place of hospital.
I just love when British people go like when Boris Johnson was in, when he had COVID and was like in the ICU, they were like, Prime Minister Johnson is in hospital.
Oh, they don't say in the hospital. They just say in hospital.
In hospital.
Oh, I love that.
So today I did a, because President Bolsonaro has it from Brazil, who's like a psycho.
Great. I'm like, and, you don't say. He literally was also like a denier for a long time, wasn't he?
So I did Ghislaine sending a voice text to Bolsonaro after she gets COVID.
I'm in hospital.
I'm in hospital.
I'm in hospital. I can't talk just, now. I'm in hospital.
Just calling every horrible person you can imagine. Just Ghislaine, just sending voice texts. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, you're all right. I'm in the hospital.
Yes, I'm in hospital.
Beep.
Can't talk now. I'm in hospital.
Sending another beep. Sending a voicemail. Hello, it's Ghislaine. I'm in the hospital. I'm in hospital.
I wonder if they tapped her phones or anything over this time.
Yeah, they probably like. Yeah. They probably like gave her some kind of warning that she was going to be. She probably went. I mean, she probably knew she was going to get arrested.
You have to know.
She probably like worked out some deal where she could like push it off or something because she's that plugged in.
But also it's like if she sings, will she get less of a sentence?
Probably.
Because right now she's what, facing 35 years?
She should.
That's the end. I'd be like, just take me out back and put one in my head. Like found guilty. And I'm going to live out my twilight years in priz.
She's horrible.
Yeah.
She's a ghoul. Like, she's like an actual goblin. Like, in the background of every picture. Like,
just like lurking. Any evil thing that's ever happened, Ghislaine is somewhere in like a 5-foot perimeter.
But of course, like a woman is like at the set, like fronting all the. I mean, she was definitely like the most active in like arranging these things and like. Was
she's definitely like his right hand man.
But I do hope that these men get taken down too.
Wouldn't that be like
Alan Dershowitz? Amazing.
Yeah, Alan Dershowitz. I'd love to see a Dershowitz, Clinton, Prince Andrew takedown.
The royal family is just like, they've had a tough year.
Shitting themselves. The poor queen, she's too old for this shit. But actually, she's been through so much. She's probably just like,
she was like,
and strong.
She was like driving through the streets of London as it was being bombed. So she's
seen it all.
She's like, my fucking dumbass son.
Yeah, this little idiot.
My failure of a son.
She's like, I should have strangled you in the crib. She's like, two idiot sons. What can I do?
All her sons are flops.
Yeah.
Her other son like was like involved in some like Ponzi scheme.
Flop after flop.
The only one who's cool is Princess Anne.
Princess Anne is really cool. I almost said hella cool.
Princess Anne got kidnapped, and when they tried to kidnap her out of her car, she said, I think bloody not.
Princess Anne is no nonsense. All the men are just like,
bloody not.
I think bloody not.
Flop after flop.
Flop son, after flop after male, flop.
Son after son, just flop, flop, flop. And then Princess Anne, like, thwarting and kidnapping. I think bloody not. And then, like, kicking him with her little clog or something.
With, like, a little pointy-toed heel. You know, all the royals wear those, like, 2-inch heels.
Yeah, those little kitten heels.
I think bloody not. I think, kick him right in the shins.
I need to say the exact quote. I think right bloody well. The bloody attempt to kidnap a prince. Open or I'll shoot. Not bloody likely, she said. Iconic.
So iconic.
Speaking of iconic, the royal family of North Jersey.
Truly. Okay, so update. So someone sent us like a tip that, or I guess we talked about on the bonus episode last week, but basically Ashley's biological father and stepmom had recently been arrested for arson when they, like, right before they went on the season of RoJ. So they got out on bail for burning their like $400,000 house down in order to collect an insurance payment that they could spend on plastic surgery and rings. Mm-hmm. And then got on bail and flew to Jersey to like go intervention poor Ashley, who I literally am like, Ashley is Joan of Arc to me at this point.
I respect that. That's like why her dad was MIA over the holidays, because they were had to make bail.
Yeah.
A clinker. Because they spent insurance money on rings.
And plastics and like a facelift.
I remember I said it looked like he had a facelift.
Yeah. And then we find out, lo and behold, they'd burnt their house down, claimed like some house insurance thing, and then it got found out that they just set fire to their own house. So literally, I'm like watching this.
The old Vanderpump approach.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
They walked so that Lisa could run. Mm-hmm. Lisa learned from them.
But I love them coming to like tell Ashley about like her bad life decisions after literally committing arson.
I'm literally was watching this opening scene where they're all like coming for Ashley, and I wrote, justice for Ashley. Like, imagine being sitting there and being confronted by your mobster stepdad, your unstable mom who has the mind of a 20-year-old, and then your arsonist father and stepmother, and they're sitting here telling you that you're a fucking fuck up piece of shit. Yeah. I would literally be like, I would rage. Ashley wildly manages to keep like a pretty even-keeled composure during all of this.
Because she knows, I think you can just see that she knows that they're, everyone including her is full of shit.
Yeah. But she's also like a real one because she doesn't blow up anyone's spot.
No, but she definitely like gets, I mean, she's being like gaslit basically. I mean, her behavior is terrible, but I think she's having a reaction to the what's being presented to her.
And just the insanity of the situation at hand. Like, she's like, she must just be like, am I really, is this really happening right now? If this were me and I were in Ashley's shoes, I would have laid them all out one by one.
I would have been like, okay, arson. I would have said that.
I would have been like, you literally just lit your house on fire to buy like a diamond ring and a facelift. I would have just gone down the line on camera, like even looking, making eye contact with the camera and been like, what?
That would have been iconic. And then she could have just like gotten in a cab and like taken the Amtrak to LA.
She would have made like, she probably, Bravo would have given her like a bonus. She could have paid to go to LA like on her own.
Yeah.
This is the thing. If you're on a reality show and someone tries to like tell you what's what, but you know what's what with them, you need to just say it. Right on camera, right in that moment.
Yeah.
And teach them a thing or two and cement yourself as a forever icon and secure the bag.
Teach them a lesson they'll never forget.
Exactly.
I had so much anxiety this whole episode because it's like a cloudy Sunday at this brunch spot in Battery Park in Manhattan called Double Crown that's permanently closed, I checked. And it just looked like really bad. And there's this amazing part where after Jacqueline and Chris leave, you just see Jody putting her lipstick on. I love that.
Jacqueline spends the latter half of their meal weeping in like a bordello hallway.
Yeah, there's like an event space and underneath like the main restaurant and it's all dark and there's just stacks of chairs and Jacqueline's sitting on one of them just going
she hates me.
And Chris comes down to like try and chat with her and then she's like, what did I do wrong? And he's like, well, I'll tell you, you're always ready for a fight. And I was like, wow, that's a keen observation. I'm glad that someone picks up on the fact that like Jacqueline literally walks in ready to just like brawl with Ashley all the time.
Yeah. Ashley's dad says, I just want my baby girl to grow up. And I went, ew.
Gross. Daddy.
Stop.
No.
I do want Ashley to burn her hat. Like, I want to burn it with her. I want to, like, throw it into a fire and watch it burn and, like, talk about it with her.
She needs, like, a makeover. She needs a whole makeover sequence where, like, one by one, we go do, like, the Sex in the City, like, hold up, like, keep or throw away signs as she, like, models various fedoras and beanies.
She needs to, honestly, like, go escape to none other than Lizzie Grubman's. And like live with her.
Learn from the best.
Can you imagine her being like, let's be sisters.
Yeah. They could do a bunch of blow together.
Yeah.
And then instead she's being like forced to apologize to her mom.
Yeah. Who can't just go to, her mom just like can't go to therapy.
Yeah, she's like, you won't even go to therapy with me. And then her mom's like, that's not true. And then Ashley says that Jacqueline went to one session and then became friends with the therapist. And then they started gossiping together. So Ashley didn't feel safe going to therapy anymore. I was like, that tracks.
Such a boundary violation.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Can you imagine Ashley being like, wow, I finally found like a female figure I can confide in. This older, like an older mom figure, like in this therapist or like someone. And then she ends up, your mom, like, it's like someone like feeling like someone's stealing your friends kind of thing.
Totally. And I think that Jacqueline's whole game with Ashley, it's like Jacqueline wants to be friends with Ashley. I think that's what she's most upset about is that she and Ashley aren't like bosom buddies.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it makes sense that she would befriend the therapist because Jacqueline also is heavily invested in looking like she's the victim of Ashley's bad behavior. And so if anything were to like contradict that, then like the veil would be lifted. So of course Jacqueline's gonna go in and be like buddy buddy with the therapist and be like so sweet and like funny and like blah blah blah. She also knows that she's like more attractive than Ashley, so then it's like now I'll look like the like funny good mom, like silly one, and Ashley will be like
the hot young mom,
the hot young mom, and then Ashley is like the sourpuss daughter.
Oh my god, she did that with Ashley's ex-boyfriend's mom.
Yeah,
she like biffled her and like glamored her with like debauchery
and wine,
because she probably was like, oh, this woman probably thinks I'm a monster because Ashley's probably telling her about like what's really going on in her home,
and Ashley lives here now, so like
yeah,
and is a way to get away from me.
So then Jacqueline like wooed her with like a magnum of Carlo, and like the two got blackout together. Blackout, as we know,
scissored, and then
did coke,
did a bunch of yay. They're like Jacqueline. I'm truly like Jacqueline's evil. I wrote Team Ashley in all caps.
I'm not fully Team Ashley because she's like she also sucks, but I understand why she is the way she is, and I sympathize with her with that.
Yeah, I just have a ton of empathy, and then I really am like now an ardent Ashley supporter. I'm like, she's still young, all of this has been like learned behavior, and I'm truly like Ashley is like completely misunderstood.
So Jacqueline had her when she was 20.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacqueline's 40 at this time.
Yeah,
that's pretty, that's like a not that much difference. We have a 20 year old. But
no, that's not
also
at
it's
all.
It's crazy when Chris says your mom could have had a career. I was like,
that was fucked
I
up.
I went oh no bitch. Oh no. Mm-hmm.
You don't
you say
there.
That. And Ashley said, don't say that to me.
So
and I was like, good.
Me. Yeah. And he goes, everyone's like, no one's putting anything on you. But I'm like, this is definitely not the first time she's heard this. I feel like she's probably heard it all her life.
So she's developed
this inner monologue and like view of herself.
Blaming herself as a burden.
And seeing herself as someone that holds other people back, or like someone that fucks things up, or like someone that's not meant to be there. And like, no wonder she's like pulling all this shit now.
She's the outsider of the family. She feels like she doesn't like, cause she's not blood. She's like already feels like alienated.
Mm-hmm.
Her younger brothers have the blood of the family that she's in, so she probably feels like alienated from them in some way. Like she just, and they're like, they were like in quote unquote planned.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just, it's really sad. And it's all happening in public. And I'm like, you guys are all children.
Yeah. You're all trash. And also to like, to do this to Ashley on camera, like she is too young to have you all pull this on camera on her. Like this is fucked up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Jacqueline has like straight up by the end of this like dinner, disastrous dinner, she's entombed herself. She's like hiding behind like a carved out wall. She's like...
Like, Chris was like, hey, honey, do you want to go at some point? It was like 5 p.m. He'd been like drinking upstairs waiting for her to be. And then Jacqueline was like, no, I think I'm going to stay here. And he was like, really? And she's like, yeah, I think I'm going to live here now. And he was like, in this dark bordello hallway. And she's like, yeah, I've made a home for myself here. And he's like, you sure? Yeah.
I went out to the alley and got these blankets you see here. And then I found this lamp on the corner. And then I made a lampshade. And now I'm just going to stay here in this.
I'm just going to stay here.
She goes, here's some cement and some bricks. And just tune me up. Just close it up. I'll be in here.
Like a one bedroom studio.
Like when I was 20.
Bye. Bye. And you just hear her behind the wall, and she just lives there for the rest of her life.
Yeah, she's fully gone Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah. She's a great time there, though. She loves it. She reads.
She loves it. She twiddles her thumbs. She writes little stories in her head. She lives a full life away from being responsible for the lives of others. She really can live like her single dreams in her little tomb.
Bye. Brick, brick, brick. Sure? And then, like, the restaurants change. Decades go by. The tomb stays.
Mm-hmm.
No one just bothers to, like, see what's in there.
20 years later, they're, like, knocking down the whole restaurant, and a wrecking ball just, like, comes through Jacqueline's tomb while she's having, like, a silent disco.
But at one point, like, a server at the next, whatever next restaurant comes in and takes over, they're like loading, they're like getting napkins from the basement. And then all of a sudden they just hear in the wall. And that's it.
No one ever, everyone just stops going down there because they just hear like a like silly little ghostly giggles and like everyone's freaked out. But it's yeah. really just Jacqueline like making her, giving herself a laugh.
Yeah.
She really needs to get her shit together though.
Yeah, they both, I mean, Ashley does too, but
Ashley does too, but she's 20. Jacqueline's 40 years old. She has three children. She's literally sitting in the basement of a restaurant with her sunglasses on, like refusing to leave. And it's like, bitch, get your fucking head on straight and get the hell out of here. She's like, I don't want to go out the front. Is there a back door? I was like, what is wrong with you? You're a middle-aged lady.
Can you imagine a car ride home from that? Mm-mm. Like that 45-minute ride back to Franklin Lakes?
I would have moved out that night. I would have been like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Bye. I would have blown up their spa. I would have called the FBI on them. I would have been like, I know that Ashley could have probably called the FBI if she wanted to on like multiple things. I would have blown up each of their spots. Cash the check and move to LA.
They're worried about her doing that.
They are. I'm truly also, I came back to like, how is she moving? Who's funding the move to LA? Like someone's paying for it. She doesn't just get this idea out of nowhere.
They all are, I think.
Yeah. They're doing it as a way to get her to not like probably blame them.
I was thinking maybe the dad, her biological dad is, because he feels, you can tell he feels guilty that he like wasn't there for her.
And he has now like an extra $50,000 laying around yeah. burning his house down. He literally burned his house down to get a facelift, some jewelry, yeah. and to fund Ashley's dreams of moving to Cali.
Yeah. You can like see this, a giant, yeah.
A scar on his head. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was freaked out by that too. Not to like scar shame, but I was just like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Knowing his like past.
Then we cut to the perfect family, the Wakilis. I wrote Snowy Wakili Villa. Bring me there.
All I want in life is to be invited to Kathy Wakili's next goddess party.
All I want is to be like in a nice blanket on one of the couches in the Wakili's living room and like a snowy Sunday night, and just Kathy just like whipping up a storm, like cooking a huge meal and being like, come try my things, and like some kind of movies playing and it's like cold and there's soup and I'm just
yeah I would love for it to be actually Friday night and like everyone's kind of decompressing from the week before. And then knowing that you have the whole weekend to lay around in like a huge house with like all these fireplaces and blankets and couches with it snowing outside, you're not going to go outside. And Kathy's just going to cook for you all weekend. And you're going to cuddle like up with her and Rich and mm-hmm. like watch tons of movies and eat tons of food.
And like talk to her about your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to her. And then like Rosie comes in like at night. And she's like, and hey,
Rosie always has your takes your back when it comes to deciding like what movie to watch. And you and Rosie are ultimately the people that get to decide on the movie.
It's like ASMR.
And then you do that all weekend. And then there's and Kathy also makes hot chocolate. That's like not the kind where you just mix water in with a packet. She makes
like
the melty, thick kind that you have to like ladle like soup into a.
That was my job. At the Standard. At the Highline.
You did a ladle?
Around Christmas, they turned the restaurant into an ice rink, and there's like a little crepe shack. And I was the barista.
Oh.
Manning the hot chocolate vat.
Oh my God.
Ladling it in. There were people who made the hot chocolate, and I like. And it was. They like poured just chunks of chocolate, and like real dark chocolate in. And Philip Seymour Hoffman came once.
Wow. You don't get that in L.A. No one does like a ladle-y chocolate drink.
It was
strictly New York affair.
It's like fully Strega at the Wakili's. And Kathy is preparing. She's going to have a Middle Eastern meal themed goddess night at her house for all the ladies, where she's going to celebrate Rich's heritage. Because he's... Is he Lebanese?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's going to be cooking some Lebanese food. She's bringing none other than Zen Jen makes an appearance.
Finally a return.
The grifter herself returns and heads, sets her sights on the Waqilis to bewitch and plummet.
Zen Jen does the bare min.
Plumage.
Of like spiritual work. Literally, yeah. Like anyone can light a stick of sage and wave it around.
Yeah.
Anyone else.
So Zen Jen, who we all know as Dina's old energist from season two, Zen Jen is become sort of a consulting spiritualist for Kathy. And so Kathy wants her family to learn about what Zen Jen is gonna, what she has Zen Jen basically come over to like get the house ready for this party. Yeah. They're gonna have
to clear out any bad energy and like sage it and like just make it a good vibe so that Kathy can have her goddess party.
Yeah.
Rich is not down. He goes, Richie does not believe in voodoo or black magic. I was like, good, because this is neither of those things.
Yeah, Rich and his son are not. Victoria and Kathy are like all about it, and Rich and Joseph are like
I love Joseph's face at one point. He's like, what? Like he does like a classic like teen boy, like,
yeah. She smudges them. I do like to hear Zen Jen talk, though. She has ASMR voice.
Mm-hmm.
But they all
do. I like
her
energy. She's Zen Jen. You can't go wrong.
Her outfit? Wild.
Mm-hmm. Her hairstyle? Not so Zen.
That she always has, like, wet curls.
I would definitely recommend a blowout to Zen Jen.
I agree.
Just, like... There's no place.
Try it.
Wet curls, wet crispy curls are just not Zen. I think everyone can agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what your background or political beliefs or anything, like I think that we could all just agree that a crispy wet curl is not going to make anyone happy.
Gelled hair.
A gelled crispy curl.
I agree. Then we cut to the Manzo house. Fedora Ashley comes over in another fedora.
In a new
for a
fedora.
Quick meeting with Cousin Lauren. Is she driving? I love her driving like her stepdad's like convertible.
Oh, was she driving a convertible?
Mm-hmm.
How does this fedora even stay on Ashley's head? It literally it is like a little pork pie hat. It looks like it's half off, like about to fall.
She also has pigtails on.
Mm-hmm. This was a wild look. It's also the dead of winter. It's
the dead of winter.
She's dressed like it's August 22nd, and it's actually January like 15th.
She's dressed like it's March. Like early March, where it's still a little balmy.
No.
She's wearing like a riding coat and like little riding boots and like jeans. Like
it's May. May.
No, she's not dressed like it's May. She's dressed like it's early spring.
April 30th.
Okay, yeah, maybe like early April, where it's still kind of chilly.
Okay.
And she races up to the Manzo's house. She walks right in, and you just hear Lauren's like busy at the dining table with her Mally
just, like,
launch
stapling pieces of paper together, like pink pieces of paper. Lauren Ashley also comes in, thinks that she's like a girl boss now.
Yeah, Lauren has total girl boss vibes, and Ashley walks in and she goes, oh wow, you've like turned the dining room into a conference table. And Lauren goes, yes I have. And I was like,
here we fucking go.
If you saw what she was, and she's typing, and if you saw what it said, it would just be like wingdings.
Paragraphs upon paragraphs of wingdings. She's like Ashley, Jack Nicholson in The Shining. And you like kind of start ruffling through like Lauren's papers on her conference room table, and you just see it's just a novel of Wingdings.
Yeah. Ashley still hasn't come up with the sketches for
Ashley
Lauren's.
Can't execute these t-shirts.
And you can see Lauren is like definitely playing like the boss thing for the camera, because then Lauren breaks and starts kind of laughing, and she's like, Ashley, like, I really need you to do this. Please. She's like, my event is in a week. And Ashley's like, yeah, I'm literally going to go home and sketch.
She was, just do what I know that you can do, which is what? Like, draw a face that you can slap on a t-shirt. Like, I don't.
You know, she should just fucking do a Marilyn face. Just do a sketch of Marilyn and just give it to her and be like, Mally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess that Lauren also wants Ashley to, like, have the t-shirts made.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, it's very unclear. And Lauren starts lecturing her, and she's like, and Ashley's like, my mom is like being so annoying and all this stuff. And Lauren's like, look, Lauren says, I would get a black eye if I spoke to my parents like the way you do.
I was like, what the fucking hell? But this is the first of many times that people talk about like physically harming someone that speaks to them that way.
Yeah.
So if you spoke to Caroline Manzo and said you're being annoying, she would punch you in the eye? Probably.
Yeah. Wow. She'd roll her sleeve up, wind up, and give you a slap.
She'd break out a slapjack from her slapjack closet and just beat you senseless with it.
Exactly. Also, I like how it ends with Ashley being like, whatever, Lauren's annoying. Your confessional
is fucking annoying. She's 23 years old, like participating in an MLM, and she's sitting here being like, you really, like, if I was like a different, you weren't my cousin, I would say, wow, it was nice talking to you, like, I'll give you a call and let you know, and then I would never call you. It's like, cool, that's not professional either.
It's mean.
So like, fuck yourself.
Tree and Joe go meet their lawyer. So the most recent scandal there. I know. What's that thing?
This is truly like just the tip of the iceberg of every problem that's to come.
What's Tree wearing in this like a maroon, like blood red, like half vest?
Yeah, I'm not clear.
So the latest scandal that the Giudices have found themselves in is that Joe Giudice was forged business partner's signature on some like loan or some kind of and got like $250,000 from it.
But Tree, like, the most telling part is that Tree and Joe are walking in, she's like, I mean, it's just stressful because I don't know what I can say and what I can't say. What if it'll get us in trouble? And I'm just like, you literally don't, like, you're fucked if not only that's your approach, but also you're saying that on camera. Like, someone's filming you right now.
So they meet with a lawyer, and Teresa's like, look, to the unprofessional, she's like, the difference is my husband admitted it. So, like, it's fine. Makes it okay. And I'm like, oh my God.
She goes, so Joe's business partner is saying blah, 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 that he like signed it. And like, it's just sad because you can't trust anybody anymore. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, she's a spin doctor.
Joe is hung the fuck over, sipping a teeny tiny espresso.
Yeah, Joe's just like, has no care in the world.
So according to Tree, Joe and his partner would flip houses. And so Joe would find the properties, or someone would find the properties, and then someone would like mortgage them or something.
Yeah.
So then Joe just signed a document like as though he had the right to, like, in good faith, he can like sign on his partner's behalf, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
And that, like, he admitted to it. And she's like, the only problem is he told the truth. You got to lie. You got to lie in these situations. And I was just like, you're not getting it, hen.
No. Something's missing here.
But you're going to have a lot of years to learn.
Yeah.
The good news is this isn't over, and you'll have about a decade worth of learning experiences to come.
At one point, the lawyer's like, you got to really cut back on your expenses. Like, Teresa, you can't be buying your Rembrandts and Picassos anymore. They were buying Rembrandt paintings.
No, he said like, the perception of you guys is that you're buying this.
I was
but
like,
you really haven't. He's saying those are like
millions of dollars.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, whoops. Missed that nuance. That was my reading comprehension failure on the SAT.
You're literally part of the people that are thinking that they are buying, like, Rembrandt.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. But aren't they going to have, like, a sheriff sale?
I think he said that now it can be a private sale because...
Yeah.
But then also, since Teresa has contributed funds to, like... Maybe they had a sale, but then she bought things in her own sheriff sale, like with her own money or something.
Yeah.
So it also it paid them back, but also allowed her to like keep stuff.
Yeah.
And then whatever she paid for gets put in her name instead of right. Joe's and hers name.
Yeah.
But it's really I'm still like unclear of what's exactly happening. But it is what is clear is that Joe owes his ex-partner $260,000.
And then Teresa makes this wild comment. She goes, some of my Jewish friends are telling me to divorce him. And I'm like, sorry, that's not how we do it. We're Catholic. I was like, she goes, maybe that's how you do it, but that's not how we do it. I was like, okay.
All right.
What?
She's obsessed with, like, throwing Jews under the bus.
Yeah, the anti-Semitism came out.
Yeah. You gotta tuck that back away, tree.
Yeah. And she says it like it's like a, like, oh.
Like it's a thing. I'm like, yeah. Literally, most sane people would leave their husband for committing fraud.
It's not just Jewish people.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, that was dark.
We get a great montage of everyone like learning about Tree and Joe's most recent like legal proceedings. Mm-hmm. Jacqueline goes over to Caroline's house and Caroline has a newspaper and Jacqueline's like, I can't do the newspaper. It's so depressing. And Caroline goes, I always read the newspaper.
There's a photo of, she's like housewife back in the news again. And there's a photo of Teresa, Jacqueline, and Danielle Staub from like 2009. And then it was when Jacqueline was pregnant, I think. And Caroline goes, oh, look, Jacqueline, you're nice and chubby.
That was so rude.
I was like, shut up, Caroline.
Also, how mad do you think Teresa is that she and Danielle Staub were pictured together? Like, that they used Danielle in that picture.
Yeah. Danielle looks great.
Mm-hmm. As usual.
Kathy pronounces damning, which I loved.
Sweet cutie.
Kathy and Melissa comes over before the goddess night early to help her out. And they read the newspaper together.
I also love when Caroline and Jacqueline were like talking about like crime and like what you do in that situation, like both of them talking as though they're like on this high horse being like, well, in that situation, like you just got to do what the judge says. Like, that's just how it goes. Right. And they're like, right. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, you guys are guilty of sin of what I don't know, but I smell a rat.
Never forget Teresa at the posh fashion show when the cops came being like, I don't know. I don't know anything.
She won't talk.
A good mob wife.
A great mob wife. She is not going to divorce him, and she's never going to spill.
Melissa comes over for the goddess night, and she's like, Kathy's food is always an event. She goes, she makes love to the food. And I went, ew.
Inappropriate.
Rich gives Kathy holy water to spritz on Teresa. He leaves a giant bottle of holy water because Teresa's coming. It's all the main housewives are coming over.
That's a good one. Rich is really good at like breaking balls.
But I didn't like when Melissa was like tattling.
Yeah, I didn't like Tree. That.
I mean, what Tree said was annoying, but it's like, don't add more fuel to the fire. Like, you can just see. I mean, Melissa's really good on the show because she stirs shit a lot.
And
but
she knows how to play sides, like get everyone on her side. And then
yeah.
She kind of does the same thing that Jacqueline does, which is like she goes the extra mile to make sure that she comes off to everyone as like the good and like virtuous, like,
yeah,
Gorga. And like, mm-hmm. Just to Gorga. Make Teresa look even more crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a moment where she and Caroline are like in the corner, like being like, and I was just like, I know exactly what you're fucking doing, Melissa, but I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
They all talk shit on Tree together, which I was like, this is shitty of you guys. Like, she's literally coming over in a little bit.
The goddess, the goddess thing was unclear in this evening, but I was into it.
It seemed like a real mashup of a lot of different cultural sensibilities that were just lumped into like Middle Eastern.
Caroline goes, I love Middle Eastern food. She goes, despite what you might think, I've been out beyond the swamps of New Jersey. She goes, I went to Dubai and Jordan on business.
5 years ago, I went to Jordan and Dubai. I was like, I would love to see Caroline in Dubai, of all places.
What was she doing in Dubai?
What was she doing in Dubai, though?
Making deals.
Caroline also, they're talking about...
the swamps of New Jersey. The swamps.
Ashley's drama.
Oh, my God.
And Caroline goes, if that was my daughter, she'd still be holding ice against her lip. So you'd literally punch her in the mouth so hard that she'd have to ice her mouth for days.
She'd be picking her teeth up from the floor. I was like, God damn it.
You would punch her so hard repeatedly to the point where you knocked all her teeth out. Like, what are you talking about?
I think at one point Melissa advocates for violence.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's in the we punch our children camp.
Yeah, I think at one point Melissa's like, yeah, you just get a wooden spoon out or something.
Ooh, the wooden spoon.
Victoria is horrified at what Ashley says. Her mouth is just a jar. She's
I
like,
love Victoria.
Like, her mouth is agape. Just listen, and she has like one loose strand of hair sticking out, and she's like doing her, and she's like hearing all the horrendous shit Ashley said to Jacqueline, and then she goes, "Well, I'm gonna go do my homework now." And Jacqueline goes, "I feel like I'm in Cleveland. Leave it to Beaver."
She can't take it. She goes, I don't even know what to make of this. She goes, what do? You have a daughter? Like, my daughter. Like, she's like, she's like, Jacqueline's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I guess I just disengage. Like, what I learned from therapy, disengage and walk away. And then someone goes, I think it was Melissa, but I'm not sure. Someone jumped and goes, that therapy stuff is so politically correct. I was like, what?
Oh, my God. Also, so like, Victoria, like, goes upstairs and, like, chases the dragon.
Yeah.
Like, in the movie Traffic.
Smokes crack in
her
breath.
Like, Erica Christians with, like, the tinfoil.
I loved everyone's goddess outfits, especially Melissa's. I loved Melissa's top. I thought she looked so hot.
Teresa walks in last, and she's waiting outside, and she goes, it's cold out here. Kathy lets her in, and then Teresa's just, like, immediately, like, unimpressed with Kathy. She's, like, shitting on Kathy's food.
She's
shitting on the whole night. She hates everything. She has a bad attitude. She sits in the corner of the couch and, like, talks shit with, like, Jacqueline the whole time.
Oh, before Teresa gets there, they're still talking about Ashley and Lauren. Was Lauren there? Lauren wasn't there.
Yeah, she Lauren's was. There.
She is there. She goes, maybe she does need to go to California and hit rock bottom. And then Caroline goes, California? No, she needs to hit her rock bottom in New Jersey. It's like, God, dark.
We don't want her hitting her rock bottom out in California.
Not out in California.
No. Caroline has a dark pass in California.
Ashley's the perfect candidate to go to California.
I know. She's perfect for LA.
Yeah. Someone with like rampant mommy and daddy issues. Like, California's waiting to welcome a person like Ashley into the fold. She'll probably find her people. Thrived. Yeah.
Yeah. Teaching like yoga or something.
Mm-hmm. Finding her zen.
Ashley would live in Venice.
She would live in Venice. Ashley probably would have ended up on like Vanderpump Rules.
I know. She missed her chance.
Teresa comes. Rude. Yeah.
She's so rude.
And is acting like a jealous hater the whole time.
But it's great when Kathy's... what does she say to Teresa that's like kind of a great dig?
Kathy gives every woman a goddess bracelet. And then she goes, I'm going to go around the room and tell you each what I think about the goddess-like qualities in each of you. And you just know it's going to be amazing. Because it's like, what is she going to say about Tree? She's been waiting, planning this all day, practicing it in the mirror. She probably told Victoria. Victoria's like, yes. She goes around, says a nice thing to everyone, then to Teresa. She goes, and Teresa, I love how no matter what is going on, you can just slap on the smile and pretend that everything's fine.
And Teresa just, that was like the moment where I was like, Kathy has emerged.
Mm-hmm.
You just see Teresa kind of wince at that, and she just does not say anything. She has, in her confessional, she's like, well, what's Kathy saying about that? Like, I got all this stuff going on in my life.
Teresa, like, you can see it, the Momo in her eyes.
Oh,
slowly
yeah.
Slowly firing up from within.
But she can't say anything.
Mm-mm.
Caroline, at one point when they're all sitting down, she goes, at first I was like, I don't know if I like her. About the host. I was like, shut the fuck up. Shut
up. Caroline, you suck ass.
You suck ass.
And also, it's like her. You literally know her. Your husband does business with them.
I don't know.
You've known them for years.
I don't know if I like it. Teresa and Melissa kind of get into it a little.
Yeah, because Melissa said something like, we hadn't talked in years. And then Teresa was like, why would you say that? Teresa just knows that Melissa's the only... she's the only one that she feels comfortable lashing out at. Everyone else, she has to be on non-Momo behavior.
Yeah.
But she can't help herself when it comes to Melissa.
Well, Teresa's getting literal, and she's like, what do you mean we haven't talked? She goes, you came to Adriana's first birthday, right? And Melissa's like, yeah, of course I did. She's like, you haven't called me one-on-one to just talk in years, which is probably the truth.
Yeah.
And then Teresa, I wrote, she's starting. Teresa starts bitching about Kathy and Melissa hanging out with Kim G.
Oh, yeah. Tries to figure out why.
And when they start talking about Kim G, I just kept imagining Kim at the window in the background, just clawing at it, going,
with her little nails. Hi. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. Hi.
Caroline starts talking to Kathy, and she's like, I really think that Albert gave you the exact right advice, that you should start a catering business. Your heart is in it. You love it. It's your passion. And then Tree goes, we're opening a restaurant.
Tree goes, we're opening a restaurant. She goes, yeah, I'm going to be the hostess. I'm going to wear a nice gown and and see people. And I was like, what?
This is truly just a delusional fantasy that she's acting out, right? The stress of everything has become too much. She's going to be a hostess in a gown. This never happened, did it?
No. They had that failed pizza parlor.
But the pizza parlor already exists.
That was she's talking about
a new restaurant. I love being it just got published in the newspapers today that your husband owes $260,000 to his ex-business partner, but somehow you've decided that you're opening a restaurant.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's true insanity.
She also makes a dig about the parsley and about Middle Eastern cuisine in general.
She's like, we're Italian. Like, we don't put parsley. I was like, you put parsley in lots of things. There's a whole brand of parsley called like Italian parsley.
Yeah.
Like, there's parsley and then there's Italian parsley. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I just love the idea of...
What the fuck are you talking about?
I just love the idea of Teresa in like a floor-length gown ushering people to their tables.
Like, as if she'd make herself that humble to, like,
yeah,
be a hostess at a restaurant to, like, just send people to and from tables and, like, answer the phone and put things on the schedule.
No way.
No. We're going to start a restaurant.
We're going to start a restaurant. But just when things are getting super gnarly, enter the belly dancer. I loved it.
Classic Middle Eastern. Classic mm-hmm. goddess activity, honestly, is belly dancing.
But they're having fun. Jacqueline gets up. Caroline and Lauren are laughing. Caroline looks so awkward, but she's laughing about it. And Melissa, Jacqueline, and Kathy all start dancing. And Teresa looks at Melissa's top and she goes, Melissa's outfit, boardwalk. I was like, damn.
Something they'd sell on the Jersey Shore.
I was like, I think it looks cool.
I love it. I think it's beautiful. I love Jacqueline's drunk enough to go, I'm a closet whore! When she's
Jacqueline's
dancing.
Blackout.
She's blammo.
I love when Jack gets wild.
Yeah, me too. I love when she cuts loose and then she's like the kind of drunk person where you can be like, you're a fucking whore. And she's like, I am a whore!
I'm a fucking whore! You're a fucking whore!
You're a whore. No, you are.
No.
I am too. I am. Both? I am.
Yeah. You're a whore.
You're a whore.
You're a whore.
Then we're back at Jacqueline and Chris's house of true hell.
House of horrors.
Who is paying for Ashley to go to California? Who?
I really think it's the dad, you know?
Do you think it's a deal like, if you make this much, if you work for the next 2 months, like, we'll help you move kind of thing?
Yeah, I do. I think it's that. And I think they're just trying to get her out. It's like an ultimatum.
Yeah. As soon as possible.
Yeah.
So Ashley comes in to like sit down and Jacqueline's already like fucking doing her song and dance.
Jacqueline has a messy side bun pony and you know that she's not fucking around.
No. Also, you know that she's been drinking for sure.
She's had like a little.
She looks loose and sexy. Which is important for her, like, victim narrative, is that whenever Chris is around, Jacqueline needs to appear loose, sexy, but also maternal.
Yes.
Just to highlight how truly evil Ashley is.
Yeah.
It's a sick, they sex start game fighting for her and Chris.
It's totally like a, yeah.
She definitely, like, blows him after fights like this.
Mm-hmm. I gotta blow off some steam. They fight. Ashley's continuing to like put up a, like, Ashley's not backing down. And Jacqueline goes and hangs out with the baby in the other room with like a roaring fire.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacqueline and Ashley and Chris start going at it. And then in the background, you just hear Jacqueline go, now you're pissing me off. And you cut to Jacqueline. She has her side pony. She's chewing gum in front of a fire while playing with her baby.
Like pretending,
which made me think that she was drunk.
Yeah, she was.
She didn't want the baby to smell the alcohol.
No, she's fully wasted. She's like, when she takes the baby over, she makes like such a big show about being like, "Where did the squares go? Oh, what's that square?" I was like, "You're drunk right now. Like you're trying to act like doting mother. You're literally sitting here brawling with one of your daughters in front of both your kids and husband."
Yeah,
and then Ashley is like, at one point. Ashley's like, it was your idea for me to move to California. And then Jacqueline's like, I've had enough. And then she like goes, that's when she goes over to do like her fake out, like mommy, like act. and then starts chiming in, like yelling at Ashley from the living room. And then Ashley goes, "You're such a bitch."
She goes upstairs.
And that's when you know that the fight has reached like peak capacity.
Is Jacqueline at one point dabbing her eye with a strand of toilet paper? Or was that Ashley?
I don't think Jacqueline's crying. I think it's Ashley that's doing it.
Oh.
Jacqueline's Ashley keeps like going, smug by the fire. And then Ashley like goes into her room. Her room also is huge. Was that her room or her parents' room?
It's her room. It's like
she's
the size
like a
of
table
like
table in her room.
One of my apartments in New York.
Yeah. And like an armoire. I was like, wow. Her glam though and her talking head was actually amazing.
Yeah.
She's wearing one peacock earring that's like 2 foot long. And the purple beanie, and her fucking face is beat to hell. She looked really good.
Who does she call? Her dad?
I don't know who she's talking to, but she's talking real shit about Jacqueline.
Chris intercepts her talking, and you just hear it. Ashley's on the phone, you just hear her keep going, like, what?
Something like, is she, how old is she? Like, 40? I'm like 20. Like, I can't. I was like, Chris, you make a good point.
Chris comes up and he goes, "You know what? You talking shit?" He's like, "Why don't you call one of your friends and get your things and leave tonight?"
The best too was like, she can hear Jacqueline downstairs continuing to like mutter about Ashley, like talk shit below her breath. And at one point you just hear Ashley off screen go, "Mom, shut up."
It was kind of amazing.
It was incredible. I was like, I would actually watch like 48 episodes of just like the saga of Ashley and Jacqueline.
Ugh, I don't know if I could.
I love it. Why do I love it so much? I love like mother daughter just like drama. It's very
I do too.
But
with them, I just don't.
I mean, they're both like, Jacqueline is mentally 20 years old. Ashley fully called it. She's drunk. She just wants like a friend to get like gossipy and like silly with. And Ashley won't play ball. And so then Jacqueline's like on the defensive.
Blammoed.
And then Ashley gets kicked out. That's like fucked up to do to her.
It is.
I'm making a mental note to listen to Ashley's podcast to see if I can get any more intel.
That should be our homework.
I need to do that. Okay, yeah, we're going to listen to Ashley's podcast and, like, report back.
We have to listen to one episode of her podcast. I can't do any more than one.
No.
You can maybe, if you want to go, if you want.
I've become, like, a full Ashley head. I'm, like, stan Ashley after watching this episode. I was like, actually, they've fucked with her so much this whole time. And I hope her podcast, she knows that. So I'm excited.
You were like,
to
they fucked with her for the last time.
Yeah, I'm like literally team Ashley for fucking life. I'm ride or die with this bitch.
And then next week, to be continued on Ashley's departure.
Is next week the finale? No.
No. I think there's like 5 more episodes.
Oh my gosh.
They have to go to Punta Cana.
Oh my God, they go to Punta Cana. Okay.
Punta Cana. But yeah, that's it for this week.
Wow.
Hang in there with us, guys. We're in this too.
We're blazing. We're blazing through.
I hope everyone stays safe and
Wear a mask. And we'll see you next time.
You can follow Laura at Lars Marie on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
Icaro. And you can follow Cher at Cher.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow Linda Thompson.
Oh, yeah. Follow Linda Thompson.
She, again, posted the same photos of her and Elvis that she's posted 48 other times on Instagram. It's a real amazing go-to move.
We're witnessing something.
It's really something. All right. Love and light.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.